Would you please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. This verse will be the basis for four messages this month. A verse we often refer to at this time of year. And I think that the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of being exalted. And so that's what we're going to do. For 4 weeks, we're going to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ from this verse. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, watch as I read the next part. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Did you ever hear it read that way before? Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let's prepare our hearts with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to exalt him. He is our Lord. He is our Master. He is our Savior. He is our refuge and strength. He is the one who has given us grace and mercy. And he is all of the things that is described in this wonderful verse that you've given us in your word. As we look at these things, help each of us in our own hearts and minds to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen. Our American society has been very fickle regarding Christ. Years ago, back in the 1990s, both an employee in a store and a policeman were fired simply because they wore a cross to work. Then about 20 years ago, things changed, and the fashion industry decided that the cross would become a fashion trinket. There's this incident about 20 years ago of a 14-year-old girl from a middle school in California who decided to start wearing the cross that she had received when she was in second grade, the first time she had taken communion. When asked why she was wearing it, she said she wasn't thinking about communion at all. Quote, "It's just a fashion, I guess." As Matt Thollander wrote in an article titled, "Why Doesn't Christian Bashing Offend?" he said, quote, "The irony is that mocking Jesus doesn't feel out of place, while at the same time, open-mindedness and tolerance of other religions has reached a fever pitch on college campuses across the nation." Isn't that true? So you can wear a cross as a fashion piece, trivializing its significance, and mock Jesus without feeling any remorse. As a reaction to that, we are going to lift up Jesus at this time of year. The truth is, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, Jesus is the child that was born. Jesus is the son that was given. And Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting father. And when we get to that part, I will explain how the son can be the father at the same time. And he is the Prince of Peace. So today we're going to look at him as the wonderful counselor. We'll separate the two words. He is wonderful, first of all. When it says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 that his name shall be called Wonderful, this is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Of course, at the beginning of the verse, unto us a child is born, that speaks of his humanity. Unto us a son is given, that speaks of his deity, the glory that he shared with God the Father in heaven before he came to the earth. And the next phrase, the government shall be upon his shoulder, speaks of his coming as the king of the world in the millennial kingdom yet to come. And it describes it further in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. But his name shall be called. A name identifies a person, distinguishes him from everyone else. A name is synonymous with who a person is. A name can become disgusting, depending upon the person. Would any of you name one of your children Adolf Hitler? I don't think so. The name, just mentioning the name, suggests something horrible, doesn't it? But then a name can be wonderful because of the person with whom it is identified, like Jesus. And his name shall be called Wonderful. The word wonderful means causing wonder and exciting admiration. Something that really grabs your attention. I want us to get a sense of that word wonderful. Just the word wonderful itself, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Get the sense of the word wonderful. Would you go to Acts chapter 3, please? Acts chapter 3, and beginning in verse 2. Acts chapter 3 and verse 2, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, this man has been lame from his mother's womb. He never walked a step in his entire life. He has been entirely dependent upon other people. And the place where they usually sat him would have been traveled by many, many people as they entered the temple, and many people would have seen him on a repeated basis. They would know this man. He would be familiar to him, a lame man. Verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Wouldn't that get your attention? If you knew this man, you knew he had never walked a step in his entire life, and now he's not only walking, he's jumping around. And they were absolutely amazed. They were filled with wonder. That word wonder. To be amazed. What is it about Jesus Christ that grabs our attention and fills us with wonder. It's not just one thing. It's all of the amazing things about him. I've used this before, and I'm going to read portions of it. Dr. S.M. Lockridge, a pastor from San Diego from many years ago in California, said these words in a sermon in Detroit in 1976, and I'm going to read portions of it as he describes the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a little bit lengthy, but as a result, it makes a point. Just be amazed at how wonderful Jesus is as you listen to this. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven, the King of glory, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere, eternally steadfast, immortally graceful, imperially powerful, impartially merciful. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's honest, unique, unparalleled, unprecedented, supreme, preeminent. The greatest idea in literature, the highest personality in philosophy, the supreme problem in higher criticism, the fundamental doctrine of historic theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's the Almighty God who guides and keeps all his people. He heals the sick, cleanses the lepers, forgives sinners, discharges debtors, delivers the captives, defends the feeble, blesses the young, serves the unfortunate, regards the aged, rewards the diligent, and beautifies the meek. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors, the head of the heroes, the leader of the legislators, the overseers of the overcomers, the governor of governors, the prince of princes, the king of kings, and Lord of lords. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I wish, he said, I could describe him to you. But he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. He always has been and always will be. We try to get the prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? Forever and ever and ever and ever, and when you get through with all of the evers, then amen. That's how wonderful Jesus is. Are you amazed? Are you amazed at Jesus? He's not only wonderful, but he's a counselor, one who gives counsel, one who gives advice, one who points another in the right direction, one who instructs in the way to go. Would you go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3? Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want wisdom? You want knowledge? Where do you go? You go to the Lord Jesus Christ. because that's where all of it is. Do you want to know anything important? Go to the Word of Christ. You want to know and understand truth? Go to the Word of Christ. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor? There is no counsel we can give to Him. Our wisdom is far too insufficient for that. He's the counselor. He's the one who advises us, because the riches of His wisdom and knowledge are so deep and so profound. You'll recall in the beginning of things that the Godhead together consulted. Remember in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, where God said, "Let us make man in our image." And in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 7, when the Tower of Babel was being built, they said within themselves, among themselves in the Godhead, "Go to, let us go down and there confound their language." There is conversation even within the Godhead. Isn't that interesting? And they talk with one another. This amazing Godhead, in whom there is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and Jesus Christ is the one designated from the Godhead to be the Word, to be the communicator, to speak to us, to address us. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. "And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the counsel of peace shall be between them both." And as we would expand the context, I believe that what he's referring to here at the end of verse 13 is that in the millennial kingdom, there will be the nation of Israel and there will be other nations as well. And the counsel of peace granted, given by the Lord Jesus Christ as he sits upon the throne of David, will be between Israel and the Gentile nations, so that during the entire millennial kingdom, there will be peace on the earth. Is there peace between Israel and the Gentile nations today? Hardly. But the millennial kingdom, there will be. Because finally the world will have someone who will have the wise words to say that will bring the counsel of peace between them both. That's pretty amazing. Jesus provides counsel to the unbelieving. He said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He provided advice to his disciples before he sent them out two by two. He told them where not to go, and he told them where to go. And he told them as they went what they were to do. He said they were to preach, to heal, to cleanse, to raise the dead, to cast out devils. They were not to provide for themselves either gold or silver or brass or purse, nor scrip for the journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat, he said. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide. And when ye come into an house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when ye depart out of that house, shake off the dust of your feet. And he prepared them. He gave them counsel and prepared them to go. And his counsel to us is this book. It's his word. And so it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, you remember at the beginning when I read it, he's a wonderful counselor. You notice in the verse, there's a pattern. There are four adjectives: wonderful, mighty, everlasting, and the adjectival prepositional phrase of peace. And there are four nouns: counselor, God, Father, and Prince. It follows this pattern. I know we have a comma, but remember the punctuation was added after the scripture was written. He's the wonderful counselor. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. So he is wonderful, and he is a counselor, but he's the wonderful counselor. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand? Am I in the right place? No, 29. Verse 29, sorry, I was reading verse 9. Verse 29. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. The wonderful counselor. Forgive me for borrowing words from other men today, but sometimes if they've said it more eloquently than I could, I think it's okay. In this case, I'm borrowing some words from a man named John Gill, and these words come from the year 1750. That's a little while ago. He said regarding this title, Wonderful Counselor, that it agrees with Christ in respect to his people, to whom he is counsel and for whom he is counsel. He is counsel to them. He gives them counsel, so he did in person when on earth. He advised sinners to repentance. He encouraged souls to believe in him. He directed the weary to come to him for rest, the hungry and thirsty for food. Such as were healed and pardoned, he counseled them to sin no more. And he advised his followers to do to all men as they would men should do to them. to behave in an humble and modest manner, to bear reproaches and persecutions cheerfully, to love one another, and to pray to his Father in his name for all things. And now he gives his people counsel by the ministry of the Word, which is the counsel of God, the produce of wisdom, a transcript of his eternal counsel and covenant, a declaration of the will of God and of Christ, and in which Christ counsels the poor in spirit to come to him for riches, the naked for clothing, the ignorant for spiritual light and knowledge, such as are ready to perish for salvation. And he counsels those that believe to abide in him, and by his truths and ordinances, which counsel is wholesome and suitable, hearty, sincere, and faithful, is wise and prudent and freely given, and which being taken infallibly succeeds. He has counsel for them in heaven. He appears there in the presence of God for them. He represents their persons and presents their petitions, answers to all charges exhibited against them, and as their advocate pleads their cause and calls for blessings agreed to be bestowed upon them. For all which he is abundantly qualified, being the only wise God, the Ancient of Days, the Father of his people, and as mediator, the wisdom of God, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and on whom the spirit of wisdom and understanding and of counsel and might rests. That is our wonderful counselor. If we were to announce that Donald Trump was coming to our church to speak, what do you think would happen? Doesn't he gather a crowd everywhere he goes? Do you think a lot of people would want to come and hear him speak? Are some people amazed at this man and they flock to his rallies in tens of thousands of numbers? Are there any people in this world that amaze you? You marvel at the power of their words. You marvel at the wisdom and eloquence that they speak. You wish everyone would listen to this person because he says it so well. How amazed are you at Jesus Christ? Do you just want to hear him speak? Do you just want to hear what he has to say? Do you just desire to sit at his feet and listen? We should. He is the wonderful counselor. And everything he has to say is not only wonderful, it's wise, and it'll point your life in the right direction. Don't trivialize Jesus Christ in your life. Don't reduce what he has done to a trinket. Be amazed. Pay attention, because Jesus Christ is the wonderful counselor. And he has some wonderful advice for you right here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your Son is a wonderful counselor. I pray that you would work in every one of our hearts to always be amazed at Jesus Christ. Grant to us a hunger in our soul, in our spirit, in our mind, in our heart, to hear the words he has to say, to listen to his counsel, and to obey. Thank you for all that Jesus has done for us. Thank you for all that he is. May we exalt him, not with just with our words this day, but with our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.